Sincerity means to make yourself cohesive around the divine presence. Now all the sincerity, faith and all that can be cultivated, cultivated through thought, cultivated through risk. If you say, oh, in any case I am going to die, why not I keep my faith in God, surrender to Him, ask for a divine life and a divine body, then if I have to die, it doesn't matter. I put myself in the hands of the greatest guru, the greatest doctor, the supreme divine, and if something goes wrong, it doesn't matter. And I can assure you nothing will go wrong. Even if you don't have faith and can take this bold risk, which is no risk because the other life is no solution at all. The present life which we are leading is a life of confusion, ignorance, in one sentence of stupidity. You can't imagine this 99% wastage of life in this newspapers, in this parliamentary discussion, in this so-called business. It is all a wastage, wastage, wastage. Because we are not ready for a higher life, we succumb to this kind of wastage, it has become a habit. So all this quality of faith, aspiration, surrender have to be cultivated. Without surrender, there is no gain. Without surrender, there is no unity with the divine. Without surrender, you can't listen to Him. Without surrender, you can't follow because the forces of lower nature are very strong. So in this program of yours, you will have to be ruthless. I can make you a small practical suggestion. I tried it myself many years back, and I found it very useful. You make a daily list. Sincerity, aspiration, constant remembrance, all the qualities you want to cultivate, working for the divine, taking food without speaking, I'll come to every detail, all that you want to do, and every day give yourself mark, A, B, C, whether you are able to achieve every quality, which quality it was C, which was B, which was A. I tell you, if you keep a check on yourself, that is a part of your sincerity, it will be a great progress indeed. Now, we come to the main theme of how to make the body conscious, how to make the body self-conscious. There are many things to be done. I will first take meditation and mantra japa. Since you accept making the body self-conscious towards the goal of divine body as your goal in life, you must try to do mantra japa with the body. And every cell of the body should be Om. Om. You should feel it all around you, in your bones, in your skin, in your flesh, in your blood, the sound of Om around you. Or whatever divine name, Sri Aurobindo, Mother, any, doesn't matter, they all come to the same. And this kind of awakening of the highest sound in the cells of the body, you will find a great asset in making your body self-conscious. The second thing which I could suggest was meditation physically on Sri Aurobindo and the Mother in their luminous form, same form but full of light, no blood, no skin, no bones, throughout your body, in every cell of your body and all around you. You should not. And third, put yourself into, it is an old traditional Hindu meditation, to meditate that the disciple is in the heart of the Guru and Guru is in the heart of the disciple. This double meditation, that you are in the heart of the luminous body of Sri Aurobindo and Sri Aurobindo is in your heart, will give you double protection, protection from external forces, protection from internal forces, and bring about unity. Then your meditation has to be dynamic, if possible collective. That is why the center, you sit together in a family with friends who have common ideal and aspire collectively. Mother once said, an old Chaldean saying, that if 12 people got together and aspired for the divine will manifest himself. So in this background, collective meditation also has its importance. The next aspect of making the body self-conscious is physical education. Whether it is asanas, whether it is pranayama, whether it is isometric exercises, the aim of the physical education exercises should be made to make body self-conscious. There are many ways. You can try slowly. We will try to develop them here for your benefit, for the benefit of our members. And next conference you are here, we hope we will be able to give you a 10-day practice program for your physical education and physical betterment. It could be anything. You could do the Tadasana, trying to reach the supreme and trying to pull the Supreme Consciousness in your body, opening yourself and making yourself receptive. Any asana you do, anything you start, meditate before. Meditate to open your body to the force so that the force could play through you, the force could work through you. I tell you, it works. I know of a young boy who used to play table tennis. He was a very average player, I would call a poor player. But every time he played, he always won. And whenever he forgot the divine, didn't open his body to the divine force, he lost. I know many instances of physical culturists who have told me, who have written on it, that the other day I was watching a TV on BBC in London, and I found a program of, they had interviewed the best tennis player, they interviewed the best golf player. And amazingly, all of them said, our best shots are those which we have played without thinking and praying to the higher force. Not trying to say, I should play like this. Just putting ourselves at the disposal of the higher force. That is, in yoga, the first principle. So the important thing is, you must make your own set of exercises and you must make your own program. And each exercise, you think before, pray to Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo, how can this exercise make my body conscious? Those of you who dance, I tell you, dance is one of the best means of making your body self-conscious. Those who sing, open the cells of your guttural organs so that they may become conscious. Every action of your day, whether you are lifting up a file, whether you are walking on the road, whether you are sitting for food, all actions should be directed towards making the cells of the body conscious. In order to do so, we come to the next thing after physical education. I am going through very fast. Next time, I told you, we are drawing the conference program. We want to keep one day, whole day, for intensive sadhana, where we can take each subject separately, discuss and practice it. Practice it how? Let us sit together, try to meditate. I'll take karma yoga now, the work of every day. You are telling a person, how are you? I am pleased to meet, with a common greeting. Normally you meet a friend, you are pleased, you are happy, these words just come out of your mouth. But that is not yoga. You hold yourself back for a minute, put yourself into divine consciousness and feel, when you say, how are you, whether you have come from that consciousness. If you are practicing, you must put one person against another person and make him repeat whatever he wants to repeat till he can say, yes, I have been able to do it from the highest consciousness. So this kind of concentration, this kind of holding yourself back before speaking, holding yourself back before doing, this is in the early stages very essential. In the next stage it will be spontaneous, it will not be necessary. So the important thing is, for karma yoga, since we have come to karma yoga in the middle, the important thing would be that you make your day, plan your day. Mother has said, body works very nicely if the day is planned. Time for food, time for exercise, time for rest. If you want to follow the path of yoga, it is a very difficult path. You should be very, very sincere. This is the sincerity. Anything which militates against your decision to move towards the divine body, you must ruthlessly put it out of way. Now I come to another very important aspect, food. Food is very important. If you can take it in right spirit, it will immensely help you to make the cells of your body conscious. Right kind of food, about right kind of food, mother has said, you must have a chemical knowledge. Some people get addicted to certain kind of taste. Some are food, fond of sweet food, some are fond of sour food. I can tell you one very small way, that is the prayer. If you just offer these habits to the divine, he will take them out of your consciousness. And the prayer which mother has said before taking food, again I read it to you from the mother, very beautiful prayer, her own prayer. O my sweet Lord, supreme truth, I aspire that true food which I am assimilating, that this food which I am assimilating infuses in all the cells of my body your omniscience, your omnipotence. Can you imagine? this food mother is praying, which I am assimilating, infuses in all the cells of my body your omniscience. As divine is all knowing, every cell becomes all knowing, and your omnipotent. Every cell becomes all powerful. So it is like this. You have to make your body cells conscious about food. I recollect one instance. I would like to share it with you. Much before I joined the ashram, I told mother one day, I said, "Mother, I can remember the divine very well during the day, even during the work." Can you imagine? This food mother is praying, which I am assimilating, infuses in all the cells of my body your omniscience. As divine is all knowing, every cell becomes all knowing, and your omnipotent. Every cell becomes all powerful. So it is like this. You have to make your body cells conscious about food. I recollect one instance. I would like to share it with you. Much before I joined the ashram, I told mother one day, I said, "Mother, I can remember the divine very well during the day, even during the work. But I forget him while taking food." So she said, "You must be taking food with a number of people." I said, "Yes, mother." And so I understood her hint, and I, believe me, after I returned to Bombay, for 1 year, I took food alone in my room, without meeting people, without sitting with anybody, keeping silent. If you really want your body cells to become conscious, at least at the early stages, till you have come to a stage when you can spontaneously see the divine consciousness in everything and all the time, a stage when the normal concentration is no longer necessary because it has become a part of your life, till that stage, till you arrive at that stage, it will help you immensely if you take all the food you need at one time. Concentrate on light in the food. Concentrate on the divine presence in the food. Concentrate on the divine presence on the body. Concentrate on the divine presence on the movement of eating. And as if you are offering the divine presence to the divine presence within you, and with this aspiration of the mother for that every cell may become conscious, quietly take food for one day, I'm not even, and see the result. See the result, how it helps you. So now from food, we come to speech. Because the integral yoga, the integral transformation requires integral effort. It is an effort for 24 hours, not 23 and a half hours. Every time you say a falsehood, every time there is a deformation in what you do or say, you are delinking yourself from the divine consciousness. You are moving a step forward towards mortality, not towards immortality. So it should be a very, very strong decision from you. You are not going to speak till the divine wants to speak through your mouth. It is extremely important. If you remain in the divine consciousness, in a silence of unity with the Supreme, you will be surprised how things happen for you by themselves. You don't have to speak. You want to speak to somebody, his phone will come. You want to call somebody, he will come by himself. You have come to a new law of being. You have come to a new law of living. And if you can come to this new law of living, everything changes for you. The normal kind of talk is not necessary, neither in family life nor in collective life. So a very strong decision has to be taken to be utterly, not only truthful from the mental angle, but utterly truthful from the angle of being a vehicle of the divine. Remain absorbed in him, and he will talk through you what he has to talk. If he doesn't want to talk to you, why do you want to chatter? It is not necessary. And do not read useless things. If you really want your consciousness not to be stuffed, kind of newspaper. Mother told me when I joined the ashram more than 30 years back, I don't read newspaper. If I have to know something, it comes to me. I said, "Mother doesn't want me to read newspaper." This was her way of saying. She wouldn't say, "Do this and do that." She would simply say, "I don't do this, I don't do that." So the important thing to know is, if you really want a transformation, control of speech is indispensable. I would also like to say one or two words about health and illness. People who are already advanced in age, people who have already some sickness settled in their body, may say, "Oh, how can I change in this life? Already I am on the other side, half, quarter, it is very difficult for me." Mother has held out a hope for them. About illness, she has said, wherever the illness is localized, there is a disharmony. If we can put that part into contact with the divine, the harmony will come. And what is amazing, she says, it is possible to establish in a moment, she doesn't say in hours or in days, the harmony that has been disturbed, and the illness would immediately go. I am reading you the words of the mother. So the important thing is, if we had the time, if we had the wisdom, if we knew the art of putting that part in touch with the divine, that would be the result. But we must know this. Another thing which you must know is about brahmacharya. It is extremely important. Mother and Sri Aurobindo stressed that sexual indulgence is the greatest block to the transformation of the body. It's not a question if you are legally even married to a lady you call your wife, or you have a night emission. Everything is bad as far as the physical transformation of the body is concerned. So you must get it clear in your mind, and Sri Aurobindo and Mother have written ample things, how to meditate, how to put light on sex organs and sex things, so that sex, they don't respond to sex thoughts, sex emotions and sex things. Their aim is elimination, not coercion. And elimination from your consciousness, their standing help is available to you. But you must become clear, determined, strong, sincere, in order to achieve this. And lastly about sadhana, I would like to put one thing. There are many other small things I won't take today, and that is occult knowledge. If every center has to be developed into the center of its origin, of the force it represents, Mother says the body is full of center, and every center represents a certain force. You must know which is the center and what force it represents. Because these 7 or 8 centers of the Kundalini are not all. Our body is full of thousands of things. So occult knowledge is very much a part of Sri Aurobindo's yoga, the knowledge of the inner world. It is amply available in Sri Aurobindo's writing. We don't have to go even to other writings, though there are other writings also equally powerful. Now, we will only take very briefly one or two other obstacles which come in our way. One is our thinking about destiny. The horoscope has said the life of such and such person is so many years. Mother said all this can be changed. Once you have put yourself under the divine law, not only sickness, not only even the destiny can be changed. And death, she herself has written very lot, I would not go into details today, how to conquer fear of death. And one of the interesting things she has said is, take your subtle physical, your astral body out of the physical body, act in the world and return, so that you already have experienced death without undergoing the physical death. And this will remove the fear of death. So finally, friends, having come to the feet of Sri Aurobindo, having come to Pondicherry, which is the central point of the radiation of the integral yoga, it will be most unfortunate if we satisfy ourselves with anything less than a divine life and a divine body. So all of you who feel they would like to better their life, who would benefit from the contact with Sri Aurobindo and the Mother, focus your thought on a divine life in a divine body. And let us all collectively work for a divine life in a divine body for all mankind. Not because in that consciousness the action is automatic. The first step in divine life would be your consciousness will become universal. Because there are two strong points about this sadhana towards divine life in a divine body. Your consciousness has to be widened. If you can't widen your consciousness, you can't progress. And there has to be an urge for self-progress all the time, self-perfection all the time. So in this background, you better make your visit here would be fruitful if you could make a strong determination that with all my shortcomings, O Lord, with all the difficulties of my nature, collective life, economic life, social life, political life, I offer myself to you, put myself at your disposal, in your hands, for this supreme transformation into divine life and a divine body. And I can assure you, in proportion to your aspiration and sincerity, the divine will surely respond to you may Sri Aurobindo and Mother's blessings be with you all.